Dear congregation, the theme for tonight's sermon is love that persuades and transforms. Love that persuades and transforms. 2 points of attention. First of all, without love. In the first letter of John, we'll meet people that are completely without love. They do not know the love of God, the Father. They do not know the love of Christ. Therefore, there is no brotherly love, and therefore, there are no fruits in their life. So that's the first thought, without love. And the second point of attention is with love. We also meet people confused, by the way, because of everything that happens around, and those people without love, confused people, but with love. People that know the love of God the Father through His Son, and that know of brotherly love. And all this around 1 John 4, verse 11. That's the text verse. 1 John 4, verse 11. Let's read it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Again, the theme, love that persuades and transforms. First, without love. Second, with love. So first, without love. This morning, we learned at least a little bit what it is that God is love. There's so much around this phrase, this statement that God is love. We hardly touched it. But we received an excellent clarification of this phrase that God is love, written by the hand of John, the apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We heard from him, and those are God's word, that phrase that God is love means, in the deepest and most profound sense, because there we can see that God is love, well, in the gift of his Son. In the gift of his Son, Jesus the Christ, we see that God is love. What a deep, a mighty, gracious, profound gift. In and through that gift, we receive life. In and through that gift, God's Son, God's wrath is stilled, pacified. And in and through the gift of that Son, sin and guilt are taken away. Well, that's the summary of what we heard this morning. So again, the deepest and most profound manifestation or revelation of God's love is the sending of His Son. We are called Christians for a reason. We are bought by Christ. And our life concentrates, if everything is well, around His love. Christians bought by Christ. We are of Him. We belong to Him. In Him we have all we need, because in His death is a full atonement. In His resurrection is life. In His ascension is assurance. You see, one thing remains for a Christian, and that is to be in Christ. To dwell in Christ. To be found in Him. Again and again and again. We read the same thing in God's Word. It is repeated over and over. Dwell in Christ. Be in Christ. Be found in Him. Why? Well, because without Him, there's no atonement. Without Him, there's no life. Without Him, God's wrath is not stilled. Without him, our sin and guilt are not taken away. Without him, we do not know God as love. Without him, we do not know what true love is. Without him, there is no brotherly love. Without him, there are no fruits in our life. So poor. And that's why we read in, for example, that beautiful text in John 15, verse 4. You've heard a sermon a while ago on the text, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Well, John in his first letter shows us that God the Father is love. Shows us that Christ is love. And shows us that when Christ dwells in us, that in us will be found the fruit of love, and based on that fruit of love, many more fruits. Read our text verse again, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, in other words, if Christ indwells us with his love, we ought also to love one another. It can't be otherwise. How could it be otherwise? Again, if Christ is love and he dwells in us through the Spirit, then love dwells in us and love will flow out of us. And the entire passage, 1 John 4, verse 7 through 21, and many more in the first letter of John, is about that love. God is love, and therefore there will be, there must be brotherly love. Well, before we open the text verse, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We must consider the background behind this text. In the second thought, we will listen to this text and especially hear what is true love. Right, verse 11, because if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another, and we understand it's here about true love. So what is true love? And what if that true love is not found in us and we fall short? That's the second thought. But in the first thought, what is the background? Apparently, that's very clear from this sentence, and John repeats it several times, there are people around the congregations, the readers of this letter, that are without love, that do not know God's love, and therefore are without brotherly love. Well, and that's true. In those congregations, in and around those congregations are false teachers. And those false teachers came with false teachings. And that caused confusion among those young believers. And those young believers that are confused because of the false teachers around them need guidance and instruction. Well, and John gives them that guidance and instruction. And he shows them and he convinces them with the help of the Spirit that they are on the right track. And those false teachers are not on the right track. And there is no reason to be confused. They know of God's love. They know of brotherly love. Yes, they fall short. Yes, they still sin. But there is love. They know of God's love. And there is love in their life. But those false teachers, where is their love? Well, and throughout the letter, oftentimes implicitly, John points out those false teachers there. See, they do not know what love is. They are without love. Okay. Four things about those false teachers. First of all, we open 1 John 1, first chapter, verses 5 and 6. Let's read them. The first thing we hear about those false teachers that are apparently without love, that do not know what love is. Okay, 1 John 1, 5 and 6. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, and here he addresses the false teachers and their followers that are the cause for so much confusion. 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that's what they say. And the blood, where are we? Verse 6. And walk in darkness, we lie. John is sharp here. We lie and do not the truth. You see, we need to do the truth. The truth is something to be done. It's so easy to speak, to have words, but to do the truth. Love is something that also needs to be done. It's so easy to speak of love, but it is. Where are they? Well, apparently those false teachers and their followers, they say, well, we have fellowship with God. But in the meantime, John says, look to their life. Where are the fruits in their life? They do not walk in the light. You don't see any fruit in their life. Just look to their lives. They walk in darkness. There is no fellowship with God. Hear what Jesus says about fruits. Luke 6, 44, 45. Every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What is in the heart will come out of that heart in words and in deeds. And John just simply points to the fact that those false teachers and their followers are without fruit. And we know what the main fruit is. Galatians, right? What is the first fruit? When the Holy Spirit regenerates us and indwells us, and Christ is enthroned in our life, and love reigns in our life, what is the first fruit? Indeed, love. Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then follow all the other fruits. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. 9 fruits. Like parts of an orange. But altogether, that whole orange, the whole fruit, is love. Love. And then those parts. You see? This is the main reason that John emphasizes the love of God and brotherly love over and over again. Oh, those poor young believers confused by false teaching around them. And John just says, see, they are without love. That's enough. Okay, second thing about those false teachers and their followers. 1 John 1, verse 8. First chapter, verse 8. If we say, well, there are those false teachers and their followers. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So apparently, they said, we are holy. We have fellowship with God. In the meantime, there was not the fruit of love. There was no fruit at all, but We have fellowship with God, and they sin. They walk in darkness with word and deed. There is abundant sin. So apparently those false teachers said that it is possible to live without sin. But we all know it is not. That's precisely the reason that every couple of months we have the table of the Lord set among us. We can't do without it. We will never reach the state of perfection in this life. And therefore John continues in verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a lesson again, huh? If we know, what a lesson, if we come to faith and the Holy Spirit indwells us and Christ is enthroned in our life, two things happen. First of all, we come to know God more and more. In other words, we come to know his love more and more. Deeper, higher, broader, profounder. But on the other hand, we come to know ourselves deeper, broader, higher. We come to know ourselves. And that's so discovering, so humbling, so troubling at times, but so necessary, because we must become, as Christ our Savior, cross bearers. We must come to that point that we deny ourselves, that we do not love ourselves anymore, but that we love God and therefore our brothers. We must die at our self-love, our self, our egoism. So those false teachers, they lived in sin. Apparently, they knew what love was, but self-love. They only loved themselves. We have fellowship with God. In the meantime, they didn't know him at all, and there was not a fruit of life. We walk without sin. And in the meantime, there was so much sin there. So much sin. What a lesson for us. Many of us have attended the Lord's table. And we always fall short. Well, whenever we sin, let us confess our sins. We know what happened with David, right? He fell in sin and he covered his sins. He covered them up. He did not confess them. Psalm 32, verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. We will sin. Tragic. But let us confess our sins. And the Lord is so willing to forgive them. We see this in the table set among us every 3 months. Again and again. You know, worst thing is that we hold on to our sins. That we continue in our sins. That we do not fight against our sins. That we do not mortify our indwelling sins. That's the worst thing that can happen in life. Why? Because then we grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve him. The Spirit of love. The Spirit that wants us to be abundant in fruits. And we grieve him. Ephesians 4. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. In other words, love one another. You see, Paul stresses the same thing as the Apostle John does. Fight against your sin and show love in your life. That first fruit that the Holy Spirit gives. How rich it is, by the way, that when we wrestle with our sin and we fall in sin again, and it's so difficult to mortify that indwelling sin, that we know of that advocate in heaven, Christ the great intercessor. And therefore we flee to him. There is a third thing about those false teachers and their followers. First, before I come to the third thing, John tells us many things about those false teachers. A couple of things, just quickly. In 2 verse 4, we read, "He that says, 'I know him,' and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. The truth is in him." You see, don't be confused. You are on the right track. They are not. They do not keep his commandments. And therefore, they are a liar. They continue in their sin. 1 John 2 verse 9. "He that said he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." So, with those false teachers and those followers, there is the opposite of love. There is hate. Then it's totally clear. They are not a child of God. It is their persistent. There is an hatred. There is no love at all. No wonder, I'll come back on that, because they do not know God as the God of love. There's just self-love. And in John 2 verse 18, here he is sharp. 2 verse 18, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." What's the point here? Why is John so sharp? We'll read verse 22. Now we are coming closer to the core of their problem. The problem of those false teachers and their followers. Verse 22. Chapter 2, 22. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ?" He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. They deny that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God in the flesh. They denied it. They denied Jesus had come, that God's Son came into the flesh. In other words, think about it. Just ponder about it. They, in other words, deny the love of God. Because we see the love of God in that God gave his only begotten Son in our flesh to save us. So when you deny that God gave his only begotten Son in the flesh, you deny God's love. That's the whole point from John. Those false teachers, they do not know that God is a God of love. It's all about self-righteousness. It's all about self-love. And therefore there are no fruits at all. And therefore there is hatred. Terrible. But it costs so much confusion. You see, at the core, they love themselves. One more thing. One more thing about those false teachers. 1 John 5, verse 6. Chapter 5, verse 6. An important verse. You see, they make one tragic mistake after the other. Verse 6. "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ." Not by water only, but by water and blood. "And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. You know, the thing is, those false teachers and their followers, they said, well, Jesus came by water only, but not by blood. What's their point? He came with the ministry of baptism by water. He commanded to baptize. So those false teachers, they baptize. And from that moment on, right, sins are forgiven and you can live holy and upright for God. And well, you can, but that's what they said. So they pointed to the ministry of baptism. But John says, you forget one thing. There is another ministry of Christ. He came to offer his life. He sacrificed himself at Calvary's cross. He came by blood. That's the point. God gave his only begotten Son. What a love. Christ gave his life. What a love. And they denied that love of God. They denied the love of Christ. They didn't need the atonement. To be baptized was enough. They could live holy and upright. And they denied that Christ died for their sins. As a ransom. What a tragic mistake. Right? This is the reason that we attend the table, right? That God shows, God the Father shows his love in the gift of his Son. That Christ shows his love in the sacrifice of his life. He suffered and died at Calvary's cross. And therefore, since that love of God is manifested and revealed to us, we attend the table because we saw, we tasted that love of God and that love of Christ who gave his life for me, sinner. But in the meantime, those young Christians here around John the Apostle were confused by all those false teaching. And John encourages them. He says, first of all, just look to God the Father and see his love. He opened heaven and he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, look to the love of Christ. He sacrificed himself. What a love. Words fall short to describe. Just look to that love. And don't you see? Yes, you still fall short. Yes, there are still sins. Yes, there is still a lack of love. But don't you see? You know your own heart. He tries to encourage them. That there is brotherly love among you. Yes, it can be more. But there is. In other words, he says, you know what happens with you? God's love is perfected here. What he means, you read that later on in 1 John 4. God's love is perfected in you. He encourages them. Perfected in what sense? Oh, God's love flows out of the Father. And then it overspills in the Son. And when the Son indwells us, it will flow out of us. We will become a river of that love. That's to be perfected with God. That God's love will be perfected. That God's love spills over into his Son. Into the body of his Son. God's love will be perfected. And he points out, you see, there is love among you. Yes, it can be more, but there is love. Be encouraged. And then he exposes those false teachers. And he says, just look to what I did. In the end, they deny the love of the Father. They deny the love of the Son. Look, there is only self-love with them. They deny God's word. They hate their brothers. They left the church. Separatists. They walked away from the church. How can they? You see, that's the point of John here. He sees people here that do not know God's love And there is no love in them, no prophetic love. They are apparently blind to God's love. So what about us? Whether we attend to the table or not, just a simple question. Did we truly see, do we truly see God's love? It's not enough to attend the table. How important it is. In the end, the most important thing is that we see with eyes of faith God's love that overspills. Christ's love that overspills, that we see that his death is my life. That in his death, God's wrath is stilled. That in his death, all my sin and guilt are taken away. All that love. And when that love fills our heart, we can't do anything else than attend the table. Or are we blind to that love? Is it still about self-love in our life? But if it is still about self-love, and if we are blind for God's love that overspills and overflows and that is proclaimed Sunday after Sunday and showed among us here at the table, if we are blind for that love, we are dead. As simple as that. That we love ourselves. In the end, we deny the existence of God. We are blind to his love. We are blind to the gift of his Son. We are dead in sin and trespasses. And we will have to pay for our own sin and guilt. And God's wrath is not stilled, not pacified. And we still live under God's wrath. You see how important it is that indeed we see God's love. And the proof of that love of God is that we show brotherly love. But more about that in the second thought. Let us now first sing a Psalter. Psalter 48, that's Psalm 22. Psalter 48. And we'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 4. So Psalter 48, stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Second thought, with love. So we first heard about people without love. But now we will hear about people with love. Well, the summary of verses 9 and 10, the verses we considered this morning, is behold God's love. That's a short summary of those verses. Behold God's love in the gift of His Son. But when our eyes are opened, again, through the mysterious work of the Holy Spirit, and we indeed see the love of God, then there will be love in our life, brotherly love. There will be. That's why verses 9 and 10 are surrounded by 7 and 11. Just read it. Right? That exposition about God's love is sandwiched by verse 7. We read there, beloved, let us love one another. And it's sandwiched between 11, right? 7a and 11. And in 11 we read, beloved, we ought to love one another. And of course, all this against the background of those false teachers. They didn't know the love of God, the love of Christ. That didn't show any love in their life. That lived in dark. That walked in darkness. That lived in sin. That hated their brothers. That left the church. We can all read all those things in first letter of John. And so John stresses, but if you know the love of God, there will be brotherly love. There will be. Well, it's not always easy to love your brother. But let's remember that we speak about the body of Christ. Well, when the hand sees the foot, the hand may love. Why do I need a foot? My hand is beautiful. I can do so many things with it. Why do you need a foot? And the ear can love about the eye. I hear everything you just see. We don't need eye. An ear is enough. And the mouth can love about the nose. You don't need to smell. You need to taste and to speak. That's far more important. That's often how we look to our brothers and sisters. He falls short in this and she falls short in that. Right? We all. It's not how it is supposed to be. We need each other. If we see it or not, we need each other. One body. And the foot needs the hand. The eye needs the ear. The mouth needs the nose. We need every part of the body. Well, and on top of it, what is the short summary of the Ten Commandments? Just one word. Love. Love. That's it. Love God above all and your neighbor as yourself. In other words, let your life be marked by love. Four letters. The shortest summary of God's commandments. But this raises a question. And that's the most important thing of this second thought. Namely this question. What is love? What is love? What is true love? Well, I opened, you know me a little bit by now, and, you know, I opened a few dictionaries just to find out what love is. I'll give you three definitions. Three definitions. Love is, according to one dictionary, an emotion characterized by strong feelings of affection for another. Another dictionary. Love is an intense feeling of deep affection. Another dictionary. Love is to like another adult very much and be attracted to them, or to have strong feelings of liking a friend or person in your family. Well, I can go on and go on. Just three dictionaries. Well, is that indeed love? Is love indeed emotion and affection? Is that love? Well, the Bible tells us it is the opposite. Emotion and affection might be part of love, but love itself is something different. It might result, be accompanied by emotion and affection, but it is not love. Emotion and affection, that's why we have so many divorces here. And so many people just love somebody just for, you know, a year or 2 years, and then it's over. I don't have any emotion anymore. I don't have any affection for you. And you go to the next one. Right? That's our society, our contemporary society. Because we do not understand what love is. We think of love in terms of emotion and affection. Well, it's not. What is true love? Right? Again, the text verse for tonight. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So we ought to have strong feelings of emotion and affection for each other. No. No. What is it then? Well, the text verse says, beloved, if God so loved us. So what if we look to God the Father and try to find out how His love is, what His love is? But you might object, well, but we can see God the Father. He's hidden for us. You're right. But we can see who God the Father is in Christ. So let's look to Christ. Right? Because Jesus himself says in John 14, he that has seen me has seen my Father. In other words, if you see my love, you see my Father's love. So let's focus a little bit more on Christ. How does his love look like? Four things tonight. I hope you will remember them. First, true love is always. Remember this, never forget it. It's so important also for our daily life. So many things go wrong here and in my own bosom. Right? You know, when we point to somebody else. No, let's not do that. First, love is self-sacrificing. Self-sacrificing. True love, look to Jesus Christ. Takes up the cross. True love, just look to Jesus Christ. Denies self. Because he went willingly, deliberately, out of love for his Father and for sinners, that path of suffering and death. That's true love. True love gives to the other. Even if it means death, just look to Jesus Christ. He left heaven and that heavenly glory. He took upon himself flesh. He suffered and he entered death. Why? Because he loved his Father so much. And his Father loved his creatures, his fallen creatures. And Jesus Christ loved those who were given to him by his Father. And therefore, out of that love, he gave his life and denied himself. We heard it this morning, verses 9 and 10. See the love of God the Father in the gift of his Son. See the love of the Son who sacrificed himself. Or consider another text. Just some proof text. That true love is indeed self-sacrificing. And that is what not only John but God asks from us. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. How? With emotion and affection, of course. But more. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. John 15. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Revelation 1. Greetings from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, how? In his own blood. He washed us and cleansed us and gave us life by entering our death. That's the love that John speaks about here. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another in the same way. Second aspect of true love. True love is faithfulness. True love is faithful. Faithful. God the Father remained faithful to his fallen creatures by giving his Son. Christ, right, God's only begotten Son, the one and only Son of the Father, remained faithful to his Father, although his Father asked the impossible of him. Go down to that fallen earth, take upon yourself flesh, pay for the sin of that fallen world. But he was faithful. In eternity, he said yes to his Father, and he remained faithful. He was surrounded by people that did evil in his life. People that fell short. People that didn't recognize him. People that didn't trust him. People that didn't follow him. Yet he remained faithful. He died. He gave his life for sinners. He is so faithful. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same, faithful, yesterday, today, and forever. You see? Forever he's so faithful. What a comfort. Hebrews 3, verse 2. Christ was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Christ is faithful. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that truth is faithfulness. You see? The love that we ought to show to our brothers is faithful love. Not that love that there is there one day and the other day not. One moment and not the other moment. No. Christ is faithful. As the master of his house, let us be faithful. A third thing about love. True love. What is true love? The third thing. So first of all, again, the true love is self-sacrificing. Second thing, the true love is faithful. What is the third thing about Christ? What can we learn from him? How does his love look like? This is so amazing. Just listen. It is unconditional. Unconditional. Let your love, brothers and sisters, be unconditional. I can't love him or her. Sorry. Impossible. What if Christ would have said, Pastor Punk, I can't love him anymore. I gave him such a rich ministry and he spoils it. He would have the right to say it. He didn't. His love is unconditional. He loves because he loves. God's election is unconditional, so his love is unconditional. That makes it so great. We can always return to him and repent and pour out our heart, and we have a willing ear, willing hand. That comforts. Amazing. Unconditional love. Romans 5. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Where's the condition? Christ died for ungodly. No condition. And His love is proclaimed. And out of His love, He prepared a table among us. And because we know it's unconditional, we have the freedom to attend the table. There is no other reason. There is no reason in us to attend the table. It is because His love is unconditional. It is therefore the most stubborn sinner. Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. You see? We were dead in sins. And yet, I don't know why, He loved us unconditional. So here's the commandment. Take it with you. Take it with you. It is a service, a sermon of reflection. Take it with you. If God's love is unconditional, our love must be unconditional. Verse 7 again. Beloved, let us love one another unconditionally, faithful, self-sacrificing. There is one more thing. One more thing about that love. You know, it's so easy to say to somebody else, I love you. It's just words of comfort or whatever, or maybe you just want to be nice for that other person, or you like that other person to like you, and therefore you speak nice words toward that person or about him. I love you. And you probably hear back, I love you. Is that love? The fourth point is, and look to Jesus Christ. Love, true love, is love in word indeed, important, but also indeed. It's also indeed. When there are not the deeds of love, our words are in vain. And they will testify against us. And then when we will meet Christ, and He will tell us, well, you spoke about love all the time. Everybody you greeted, I love you, I love you. Where were your deeds of love? And did you love me? You said, public confession of faith, you sat at the table. Where were your deeds of love? Christ showed His love, not only in word, but also in deed, by giving Himself even in death. A cursed cross. What a demonstration of love that is. We see Christ's love in word and deed in every aspect of His earthly ministry. It were not only words, but He showed His love in deeds. That's why He healed so many people. That's why He comforted so many people with wonders and miracles. He showed His love in word and deed. I would like to read with you 1 John 3. Verse 16 through 18. It also speaks about that love. 1 John 3. Verse 16 through 18. Chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?
My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. To summarize, Christ's love was self-sacrificing, faithful, unconditional, in word and deed. And now we read again verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, self-sacrificing, faithful, unconditional, in word and deed. You see, where is the emotion and the affection? Of course, there was emotion and affection with Christ. But true love is not only affection and emotion. It is accompanied by it. But true love is something else. We just heard it. One more question must be answered before I say amen. I think we all understand now the importance of brotherly love. We have seen at least a little bit, touched upon it, what love is, what brotherly love is. But what about our lack of love? We all fail, we all fall short. Who among us can show this love in his or her life? Who? Please raise your fingers, raise your hand when you can show this love. I can't. I just can't. And I think you can't. So what about our lack of love? 1 John 4, verse 7. I just quote three verses again. 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is out of God. When there is a lack of love, let's seek it with God. Let's cry out to him, flee to him, come to him in repentance, contemplate and meditate upon his love, be filled with his love. True love is out of God. Verse 12. If we love one on another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. You see, true love begins there where God dwells in us. And his love is perfected in us. In other words, that God's love, right? The love of God the Father overspills. What a cup of love. The cup of love from the Son overspills. The Spirit indwells us and Christ is enthroned in our life. So that love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit will overspill in our life. Do we see the importance to dwell in Christ? To be in Christ. And therefore to be in his word and to dwell in his word. There's the remedy. Same thing in verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. True love is only there, but it is there, where he dwells in our hearts. John 14. Where we are one with him in faith through the Spirit. It's all a matter of fleeing to Christ. You see, brotherly love is a love that flows out of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit into our lives. And we will become a river of love, but only when we dwell in Christ. Because he's the origin of it. But there is another important thing here that I would like to mention. Brotherly love flows out of the knowledge of God's triune, right? Do we see how important knowledge is of God? Because when we come to a fuller measure of the knowledge of God, who God is, we come to understand his love. And then we stand in awe and wonder before his love. And we will show that love in our lives. But there is a second thing. Brotherly love is love that flows out of the knowledge of ourselves. So important. Not only the knowledge of Christ, that's most important, but also the knowledge of ourselves. When we come to know ourselves and live in repentance and become cross bearers, when we live as cross bearers, every obstacle to love our brother or sister is removed. Because we deny ourselves, because we know ourselves what we are. So we deny ourselves, we take up our cross. And then every obstacle of loving our brother or sister is removed. You know, it's so often, a lack of love is so often self-centeredness. So often the problem. Self-centeredness. And it is a sign that we are not cross-bearers. So there's something wrong with us. Last thing. What if we fall short and our heart condemns us? And doubt and guilt and failure, right, they are never far from us. We can even feel overwhelmed by doubt and by guilt and by fear and by failure. What to do? What to do? When we fall short and everything testifies against us, what to do? I would like to read again, and those are the last words. 1 John 3, beginning in verse 19. 1 John 3, beginning in verse 19. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart. He knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask Him, we receive of Him. In other words, we have this comfort that God knows all things. He knows of your wrestling. He knows that there is still a lack of self-love. He knows that there is still room to grow in the knowledge of God. He knows your pains. He knows your past life. He knows your traumas, whatever. He all knows it. But when we see God, right, we also remember His love. When we doubt ourselves and everything testifies against us, remember His love. What is His love? Self-sacrificing. What is His love? Faithful. Even for those people who lack love. What is His love? Unconditional. Even for those people who lack love. What is His love? It is a love in word and deed. In other words, Christ's and God's love is greater than our conscience and feelings. What a comfort. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank Thee for the lessons we learned tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, that we first of all heard about Thy love. What an amazing love. Perfect love. Oh Lord, we ask Thee, work in us with Thy Spirit through Thy Word. Oh Lord, fill our hearts with Thy Spirit. Oh, that we may not grieve Him. Oh Lord, that Thy love will reign in us. That Thy love will fill our hearts. And that we will show Thy love towards our brothers. And when we fall short, Lord, we know that Thy love is far greater. Thou knowest everything. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy grace and Thy mercy. We thank Thee for this day, for the table set among us, for the preaching of Thy word. We ask forgiveness of our shortcomings. Go with us the coming week. Lord, hear our prayer as we cry out to Thee and seek our salvation in Thee. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 65. Psalter 65. We'll sing all four stanzas. Psalter 65, that's Psalm 25 again, and we'll sing all four stanzas.
Lift up your hearts to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.